Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In American Christianity, Romans chapter 11 has often been torn apart. You can find bits and pieces of it scattered about the internet on various websites speaking about the end times and the restoration of Israel. These verses are joined to prophecies from Daniel, visions from Ezekiel, and images from Revelation. They're joined to doomsday predictions and headlines from newspapers, wars and rumors of wars in the Holy Land. With strong language and strong fervor, Christian organizations fight for the nation of Israel. They claim that once Israel is restored, our Lord will return. And usually, in the background, scattered among the Bible verses, are pieces of Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 11. How fitting it is, then, that today the lectionary doesn't give us one continuous chapter from Romans, but it breaks it up into these little bits and pieces and feeds it to us that way. This is how Romans is most frequently read. A verse here, a verse there, in the midst of all the arguments about politics and power and the Christian role in ruling the nations of the world. All in the name of Christ and for the sake of his return. Is this what the Apostle Paul desired, though? Is this how confused he wanted the church to be? Today we're going to try to see the big picture that Paul is giving us in this passage, the picture that shows that there is one body, one people of God, and that he keeps his promises to that people. Have you ever noticed how in some art museums they've got guards posted in front of the artwork and the paintings? Or if they don't have guards, maybe they've got that velvet rope, kind of let you know you can go this close, but you don't get any closer than that. And even if you try to point to a detail, you might get corrected, and they'll tell you, stay back. But art draws us in. We can get real close, and we want to look real close at the details and notice all kinds of little interesting things. And what can happen, though, the only problem with that is that when we get so focused on the little tiny details, we can cease to see the entire picture and the overall meaning that the artist wants us to see. So we have an old saying that describes that experience, right? That we don't see the forest for the trees. Because a person is so immersed in the trees, they can't step back and see the forest. Being immersed in the details sometimes prevents you from seeing the larger picture. So consider a piece of art created by Carl Faye, a Lutheran pastor. When you see his work, it invites you almost to look closer. Standing far away from it, you would swear it's composed of letters, and you'd be right. And you look closely at it, and you see, yeah, it is made of letters. Actually, Hebrew characters, consonants, and vowel pointings, sometimes dark stroke, sometimes light stroke, sometimes bold and thick, sometimes thin and fading. But try as you might, even if you could read Hebrew, you wouldn't be able to find any words, just random letters. Something like that can happen when we read this section of Romans. We focus in on individual letters, words, and verses, and we lose sight of the overall picture Paul is painting for us. One verse seems to suggest that God has rejected Israel. Another verse tells us that they're beloved for the sake of their forefathers. So which is it? Is Israel saved or not? And if God seems to be indecisive about the Jewish people, that should make us nervous, right? What's to keep God then from rejecting us? Can God be trusted when he makes a promise? When he claims people, any people, whether they're Gentile or Jew, can we trust him not to forsake them? Now, on the one hand, this seems like a very easy question. Any kindergartner in Sunday school can tell you, of course you can trust God all the time. But on the other hand, this is a very real struggle for us. Can we trust God? If God loves us, why did he let my son die? If God keeps his promises, why hasn't he responded to my prayers? Living here below, our vision is clouded and blurred by sin. And so God can seem to us to be untrustworthy. But that's partly because we can't see the forest for the trees. We get caught up in the tiny details and we lose sight of the whole picture. So speaking of trees, Paul uses the image of a tree, specifically an olive tree, to help us understand this sometimes confusing passage. But in order to see that, we're going to have to look at the bigger picture. And in order to see the bigger picture, we're going to actually have to read the larger passage that got skipped over in our reading tonight. So I invite you to pick up a Bible from the rack in front of you and turn to page 947. 947. I'll wait for us to get there. All right, on 947, we're reading from Romans chapter 11, starting at 13, so I'll read it and you can just follow along with me. Paul writes, "Now I'm speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you," and here he's speaking to us, "you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree?" So Israel is the olive tree. Christianity, the church, grows out of these roots of Judaism. And you've probably heard this before many times, right? Our heritage is often referred to as Judeo-Christian. And we know that Jesus was himself a Jew, born under the law, and he came not to replace, but to complete and fulfill the promises that God made to the Jews. So the natural recipients of Jesus' message were the Jews. So that's why in our gospel reading today, you have this puzzling thing of this non-Jewish woman asking Jesus for help, and he ignores her. Now, the Gentiles will come to be saved later, but the first intended recipients, those to whom the gospel was to make the most sense, was the Jews. They're the natural branches of the olive tree. But if they don't trust God's promises, if they don't recognize that Jesus is God's Son who came for them, then they're cut off from that olive tree. Now, wait a minute. So did God break his promise to the Jews by cutting off those unbelieving branches? And here's where I think we get focused too much on the individual twigs, the leaves, the branches, and we're not seeing the whole tree. If we're to take a step back, we would see that although some branches are being cut off and others are being grafted in, it's still the same tree. It still has the same trunk and the same roots, and it draws water from the same ground. God has not rejected Israel. God has rejected unbelief. Paul himself was an Israelite. If God had rejected Israel, then Paul would be condemned. God hasn't gone back on his promises. Rather, he has expanded Israel now to include Gentiles. Not only disciples of Jesus who are descendants of Abraham, but disciples like us who are descendants of other nations. We are unnatural branches from wild olive trees that God in his mercy has grafted onto this cultivated olive tree. If you stand up close and you look at Carl Faye's picture, all you see are letters. Letters that you struggle to put into words. If you step back, however, the picture becomes clear. When you step back, all of these letters blend together to make the image of an infant, a child in the womb, about to be born in the world. And in a sense, Faye's image reveals the mystery of salvation to us. Under the Old Testament, before Christ, you have all of these words and promises of God dangling there, individually, set apart. And then finally, at just the right time, all of those words and promises of God came together in the womb of Mary, were fulfilled in the child, Christ. God hadn't rejected his people. He hadn't gone back on his promises. He kept his word. Every single promise is fulfilled in Christ. Those who don't look to Christ to find God's promises fulfilled will naturally be confused. All they'll see are individual words and letters that don't have any connecting point, just like those letters in Faye's sketch. But just like those Hebrew letters and those ancient promises in the Old Testament meant for the Jews, those who don't see Christ there will remain cut off from the larger meaning. It takes us to step back and see that Jesus has been the whole picture all along. And the same is true for you and me today. When we get caught up in the details, in all of life's twists and turns, its tragedies and challenges, we can fail to see the larger picture. And that's sin, and that's doubt clouding our vision. But when we see the bigger picture, we find that in Christ, God's answer to us is yes. Yes, God can be trusted. Yes, God has delivered on his promises. In the big picture, Christ was delivered up to death for the sins of the whole world, people of all nations and tribes. And he crushed the head of the serpent, Satan, for us. In the big picture, Christ is risen for you. And those enemies, death and sin and the evil foe, they lie defeated at his feet. In the big picture, everything's going to be okay for the people of God, the one people, part of the one tree, whom he will at last save from all of her iniquities. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.